So Heather, we're talking today because you decided to tell your story about getting COVID-19 and what that's been like for you. Many people have been concerned about their privacy when it comes to COVID, but you're choosing to be open about it. What went into that decision for you?
I think primarily, I think it all started on social media with, you know, some of the rumors and stories going around. I come from a small town. That's where I grew up. I don't live in a small town anymore. I live in a big city. So it's not as prominent, the gossip that goes around Moncton, Dieppe, Riverview area. But in small towns, everybody knows everyone. And it got to a point where my family felt very attacked by, you know, a lot of people on social media. And it had a reflection on me because, you know, my story started by going to a Christmas gathering on Christmas Day and being very asymptomatic and not knowing that I had COVID. I tend to feel like there was a lot of shaming and blaming going on, and then it became blaming, shaming, and naming. So when you have COVID, it's not as confidential as you think it is. And it didn't take long for people to figure out that my family was affected. And there was a lot of things that happened through those last 14 days. And I'd just like to, you know, touch on some of the positive things, but also, you know, we need to also discuss a lot of the negative things that happened so that someone else that does get COVID in the SAFO community is not attacked and treated the way that my family was these past couple of weeks. So I think that it's to bring awareness, you know, to the I keep calling it a disease, but it's not a disease. Keep bringing awareness to the virus and try not to feel, you know, shamed for it. I mean, because any person that, you know, can walk into a store or gym or a supermarket or any gathering can, you know, contract COVID-19. We've seen that in the last 3 days, what's happening. And it's not going to get, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I try to be positive, but, you know, every day, you know, you see in the news conferences that, you know, the cases remain very high. And it's very concerning. And I think that people are not taking it seriously. Like I didn't take it seriously. And, you know, look what happened, you know, to me. And I'm going to get into my story on what actually happened. Yeah. But I just think that people really should go get tested and be sure that they're healthy and that they're not carrying around this virus and not try to mask it for a cold or a flu like we did.
Yeah. So you found out you had COVID. You kind of lived a bit of a everyone's worst nightmare sort of thing. You found out you had COVID very late on Boxing Day on the 26th, basically the same time that your husband, Jean, was being admitted to the ICU. So, yeah, tell us what happened leading up to that.
So a week before Christmas, I would say the weekend before Christmas. So my husband Jean started to develop some symptoms that didn't seem concerning at the time because, you know, this is flu season. And, you know, my husband started coming down with a little bit of a cough, but he had a fever, which was kind of, you know, kind of weird, but, you know, not concerning. It wasn't like a skyrocketed fever, very low grade fever. But the cough with the fever, you know, kind of lasted a few days, and then he seemed like he was getting better. But, he then started to have a little bit of fatigue and aches and pains. And we just thought that it was just the normal influenza flu. So
you weren't thinking about COVID at that time?
Absolutely not. And, you know, we are aware that COVID is, you know, it exists, but in our province, the numbers are so low. So a lot of us actually don't, we just don't think it's going to happen to us. I think everybody thinks, oh, it won't happen to me. But, you know, it can happen to you. And that's what we found out. So we didn't have any reason to think that we contracted it anywhere. We still don't know where we got the COVID. And it's still under investigation. And, you know, that's kind of scary because, you know, it's the unknown. It's like I find that we can't find really any closure until we kind of have an idea of where maybe we possibly could have contracted the virus. But a couple of days after he felt unwell and started to, you know, pick up a bit with cold medicine, and I came down with a little bit of a sinus pain in my nose. It was not anything really serious. I wasn't concerned. I had a little bit of a headache, sinus pain, and I had a fever, but it lasted like approximately 36 hours. So, and then after that, I never had another symptom until Christmas Day. I felt a little bit off. We had made a decision that week because my mom has a lung disease that you shouldn't, be around someone when you're sick. I mean, we've already had that discussion, her and I, many times, that when, you know, when people are sick, we either wear a mask or we just, you know, don't go around her because she is vulnerable. You know, mm-hmm. She is one of the vulnerable ones that could, get sick and possibly, you know, die from this disease, which is the scariest thing. So I had a little sinus cold, and Jean was still not really feeling himself. And I said, perhaps you shouldn't go anywhere at Christmas and you should stay home because you have a mother that's 94 years old, and my mom has got a lung disease, and I think that's the best decision. So, of course, he didn't go anywhere, and unfortunately, I did go to the gathering in Sackville.
You were feeling well. You were feeling well enough at that time.
I was feeling great.
Yeah, feeling great.
So I went to Christmas dinner. However, at Christmas dinner, I kind of couldn't taste my food very well. And I thought that was strange because I seemed to be fine like the entire week. And then I wasn't enjoying my dinner, and I was wondering, like, and then I started to think, oh my God, you know, that's one of the symptoms of COVID-19 is you can't taste or smell your food. They claim that 90% of the people that get COVID, that's one of the main symptoms that kind of triggers you that you have COVID-19. So at that point, I still didn't think that this could happen to me. Like, you know, I was in a lot of disbelief, like, you know, considering that we didn't, you know, travel, we didn't go anywhere. We've not been out of the province since last Christmas, like last Christmas in 2019. So we haven't been anywhere. We haven't been around anyone that's been out of province. All we do is we go to the gym, we come home, I work from home. So we don't even work, like, you know, out of our own home. So there was not a lot of reasons to think that we would be at risk. But sadly, that is not the case with anyone, because anyone is at risk. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter where you are or where you go. So leading up into, finishing off Christmas Day, I was in contact with 18 people. Not close contact. I think that we tried to keep distance because my mom does have a lung condition, so I wore my mask that day, which I completely, totally believe probably saved my mom's life, because hadn't I worn a mask, perhaps she might have contracted it. And mm-hmm. if she contracted it, we don't know what could have happened. She could have been a mild case, but how do we know? We don't know. So I'm very, very, very careful when it comes to my mom. And that's where there's a lot of guilt. And that I think that's what we'll talk about later. But I do have a lot of regrets. But, we all make mistakes. And obviously that was a big one for me. And but this just goes to show and should, you know, prompt people to not ignore just a little cold symptom that could be something that they could be something else. Bigger than what they think it is. Mm-hmm. So I went home, and I, for my own peace of mind, I went online and I actually scheduled myself for a COVID test. So I had it the next day, came home. My husband wasn't getting any better. I brought him to the hospital. Fast forward to later on that night, they brought me in and they told me he had pneumonia. At that point, we still didn't know we had COVID. And not long after that, they were asking a lot of really uncomfortable questions, asking about, if we give consent to put him on a ventilator. They ask consent if we wanted him to be revived. They ask consent if we wanted, if they had to put him in an induced coma, if we could put him on a breathing machine, if they could put him on a breathing machine. And that's when we really started to get concerned. And they suggested he go to ICU so he could be monitored and nurse him back to health. So he was on a lot of oxygen and antibiotics. Before we went to ICU, another doctor came in and he said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Lambalama, but I have to tell you that you tested positive for COVID-19. So at that point, I pretty much knew that I had COVID-19. I mean, we live in the same household. So he looked at me immediately and said, "Are you Ms. LeBlanc?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And he verified my birth date and said, "You are also COVID-19 positive."
Wow.
So from that point forward, I guess it was the biggest nightmare of our entire lives. I mean, I was escorted out of there immediately. I didn't have time to kiss my husband goodbye. You know, the stigma about COVID is that if you have pneumonia and COVID, there's a pretty good chance you're going to die. And, you know, especially, you know, with underlying conditions, so on and so forth. Where my husband does have an underlying condition with some heart issues, obviously you can I guess appreciate that I was very, very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
I had to drive myself home that night, and I was hysterical, and it was the ultimate nightmare. It felt like a death in the family. It was horrible. So
very scary times.
Very scary time. But I think that people need to also know what's involved with all the contact tracing that we had to do, especially in my situation, because I was in contact with people and was very asymptomatic. And that caused like a whole world of grief for myself, my parents, everyone involved in this situation. So immediately my parents started phoning people, probably even that night, late night.
They started the contact tracing sort of preemptively.
And they weren't obligated to do that. Public health is actually supposed to do all that because it's supposed to be confidential. But my parents, you know, basically wanted to take it upon themselves to give their family that, I guess, heads up, because, you know, you're calling someone to say you were in contact with someone who had COVID on Christmas Day. Your first question is going to be, well, who, you know, and that's where there's a little bit of a problem in the system there, because nothing is confidential, and basically, this situation proved that nothing was confidential. It was no more than probably 7 to 8 hours later, and people were posting on social media that a family had a gathering, and they said 40 people, and they said I was down there 3 days in a row. So you know how they add things to the story, and you know that's how things escalate, and then it causes an uproar, and then the community starts to lash out. They start to get angry. They start shaming. They start blaming. Then they start adding pieces to the story that is unfounded, untrue. And then, you know, then the family, you know, sees this on social media, and you know, it makes us very sad but angry that, you know, a virus can cause so much turmoil in a community where it was an isolated incident between one individual and a family of 18 people who all were notified immediately by my parents and public health and were instructed immediately to quarantine for 14 days and get tested. So everybody did exactly what they were instructed to do. And I think that we isolated that case and made sure that everyone abided by all the rules. But what happened was that a lot of people in the community started to accuse our family of infecting others in the community. So that's where it got really, complicated, because mm-hmm. a lot of people will believe anything that they read on social media. And, you know, it's sad, but that's a fact.
We should take a minute here to sure. say you mean you've been in contact with the 18 people that were at the gathering yes. in Sackville. And so, and it's, I guess we're looking at, it's about 12 or 13 days ago now. So mm-hmm. did they all get tested, and what were their results?
Yes. So every person at the gathering was tested. Some were even tested twice due to their, health status or their job. I know one was a daycare worker, and my parents both got tested twice because of her condition. So my parents did go twice, and for my own peace of mind. And it was really funny, but by yesterday afternoon, I had all the test results back. So the video I did online or on social media kind of came at the right time. It kind of gave me a little bit of closure on the whole situation, and everyone's tests came back negative. So there was no community spread. There was no one that was in contact with anybody else in the community. And to our knowledge, there's nobody in the Sackville community that has COVID-19. I can't confirm or deny that, because unfortunately, public health needs to do better, because I honestly do believe, and I will, you know, take the side of some of the people on social media that were speaking about, just being in the know. But I do agree with them that they should be reporting numbers in each community every day, not just the zone, because zone one has a big area mm-hmm. to cover. We're talking about Tush, we're talking Fundy, we're talking Shediac, Sackville, mm-hmm. I think even Petit Kodiak, I'm not sure, but it's huge, like the Riverview, Moncton, like, so, you know, you could have six cases like they did the other day, and then there was a rumor going around that five of those cases were in Sackville, which was unfounded, untrue, but they take this information and run with it and try to get the community in an uproar. And then that's when the social media bashing and slashing starts. And it's sad, because we have to kind of justify our position, or we have to justify our situation that should have been confidential in the first place. So, right.
Because since when your cases were reported, I guess that was December 27th, that your two cases,
yeah.
you and your husband, for the next, I think, 5 or 6 days, there was no cases. And then on January 3rd, yeah. of course, suddenly we yeah. started to get hit. And there was 6 cases in zone one, and then the next day, another 12. So I guess what did happen is people did panic about that in Sackville, knowing that there had been
Absolutely.
A gathering.
And I don't blame them. But again, I think that's public health's not fault. That's not a good word. But I think it's public health needs to do better. Like they... Jennifer Russell needs to actually implement more information for the communities, because I know that if I was the mayor of Sackville, I'd want to know that if there were cases in my town,
mm-hmm.
I would want to know. I mean, and so far where my story kind of my name and our situation kind of flew like a wildfire. If there were 5 cases in Sackville, I'm pretty sure we'd know their names and probably social insurance numbers by now.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have to make a joke about that, because, you know, it's just, I find it very, very, discouraging to, like, for us, for our family, that we were put through that when there was no evidence to support anything that they started saying. I think they even tried to connect a case from Amherst to our case. Like, it's just very unfounded information, and it's something I never want to go through again. It was horrible. It was just mm-hmm. a horrible experience for us and our family. Yeah. And I hope that never happens to another family, because it wasn't right. It was very unjustified. And those people, you know, someday they might have to go through this, go through the same thing we went through, and they're going to find out like how painful it was. So. Mm-hmm.
So I guess, I mean, one good thing about, you know, talking about it is that you get to say, this is exactly what happened. This was the outcome.
Exactly.
Now we can't obviously say, I mean, who knows, there could be other unrelated cases in Sackville. We can't say how many cases there are or
Absolutely.
Not in Sackville.
There could be cases in Shediac. There could be cases in Bouctouche.
Exactly.
There could be cases anywhere, but they're not related to our situation because everybody abided by public health's, advice, rules, regulations, and they weren't happy about it, some of them, but you know, I think that I was very proud of all of them for, you know, sticking it out, and you know, I think they're all done quarantining tomorrow, actually. I think tomorrow's their last day, so that's very that will be a happy day for those 18 people, and you know, some were not happy. I mean, some are okay with it, but some are not, you know. It really affected a lot of things. I mean, I affected other holiday gatherings, you know, Boxing Day gathering, not Boxing Day, but other gatherings after Christmas, because, you know, every household will go and meet at other people's homes and play cards or have a poker game, you know, have potlucks. New Year's Eve, you know, that all got canceled for these people. And also they weren't allowed to go to work. So that also made things difficult. Thankfully, there's a benefit that they can apply for. But, you know, maybe some of them make a lot more salary and just didn't get paid, but they'd have to take that benefit. So, you know, there could have been some salaries lost there. Yeah. You know, so there's a lot of guilt. There is a lot of guilt for sure.
Yeah. You mentioned in your live video that you can now better understand the motivation of people who might, you know, feel the need to lie to public health. Explain what you meant by that.
So because of I don't like to call it torture, but it was, you know, the Nova Scotia Health website put out an article today on shaming during COVID. It was a very good article. I read it. And I hope New Brunswick does the same. But this really affects all of our mental health. And, you know, because I did come forward and came forward very, very, very fast, and my parents worked very hard with public health to advise everyone and get that out there, and had to actually do contact tracing back 2 weeks ago. So, you know, not to touch on other situations, but I also had another gathering on Christmas Eve with my family in Moncton, and also had other contacts throughout those 2 weeks with service providers, friends, stores. So, you know, it was a very big project for me to have to remember all of these dates, times, places that I went, because all those people had to be contacted. I went to the gym. That was another place that they had to contact. So, you know, it was a very, it was a freak show for me, because I still can't even process that night and the next day, all the work that I had to do to provide to public health to start the process. And there's two processes. There's one process of contacting everyone I was in contact with so that they can be tested. And then the other process is they're investigating where we caught it. So you can imagine like how much work they would have in just my one case. And I'm one person that affected all of those places. So it's not just the community in Sackville. It's a lot of other people too that all had to self-isolate. Some had to close their businesses. So it was something I would never want anyone to go through. And I feel like I was abused and really, you know, I guess shamed and blamed from my hometown community, not as so much from my community, like where I live, but I have to admit, like I felt that discrimination from there. And now I understand why people want to hide the truth, or want to hide who they've been in contact with, or want to hide saying that they were with this person or that person, and try not to get too many people involved because of humiliation and the blaming and the shaming. So I did everything right, but yet I feel like I was victimized for it. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying about public health is pleading for everyone to be honest, but when there's no confidentiality because of the people in the circle that is affected, you know, one person tells one person, that person tells two people, those two people tell five people, you know, and eventually, you know, it gets everywhere. And Saffold is a very small town, so it wouldn't take long for, you know, people to find out what family was involved. And, you know, they're quick to blame, right? So, and they're trying to protect their community. I get that. But when you don't know, you know, the whole story, it makes our life very difficult and really hard to understand the motivation behind it. And I like to think that family is probably the most important thing that you can have during a pandemic, and what you go through as a COVID, case. And for the most part, most of my family was amazing. Some were very upset, but in time they'll heal and they'll get over it. Maybe they'll have to deal with it someday with some of their family and friends. So, you know, don't wish it on anyone. And hopefully by next week I can put this behind me and move on.
You also, you did talk about some of the kindnesses that have come your way as part of this. I mean, obviously it's a nightmare and absolutely, no one wants to live through it. But can you share some of the kind acts that...
Absolutely. You know, there are certain people that, you know, in your circle that you feel comfortable talking to about your situation. It's not something that, you know, that you want to call people up and tell people that you have COVID. I mean, but there's a lot of support and people that you trust. So I think that's why we had such an amazing community and people didn't judge here, because we're very well known in this community. We're promoters in the fitness and bodybuilding industry. So we're always in the paper. We're always like, you know, in the spotlight, you know, so we, people know us here. So the fact that it was Heather and Tijon LeBlanc, it was a big deal because we are very much in the spotlight in our own city. So, and we do a lot for our community and for the athletes, and, you know, we sponsor a lot of people, and, you know, we do a lot of great things for the community. So I think that part is amazing, how the community gave back, because I've got three or four bouquets of flowers downstairs of people, just random people that have sent us things. I've gotten groceries on my doorstep from an athlete from Newfoundland. I've gotten someone offering to go pick up groceries and dog food for us and pick up coffees and egg whites from Costco, because we're both bodybuilders. And I think that those are the positive things. And I think that the emails and the texts and the calls is what kept us going. But most of all, I think family, my family especially, and his family, is what kept us sane and checking in on us every day. And we also have a gym in our basement, thank God. You know, so during this whole pandemic, we ordered our own gym because we didn't know what's going to happen with us, you know, with the pandemic. And at one point, gyms were not going to be open. So we have our own training gym. We love training together in the mornings. It gets us jump started for our day. And, you know, we reflect on what's happened and we spend more time together. And I guess those are all some of the good things that have happened. And I had over 4,000 views on my video last night, and that feels good. That means that my voice was heard and people understand. Not everyone's going to agree with some of the things that I might have said or agree with, you know, the choices that I made. But, you know, I'm an honest and open person, and I told my story from the heart. No one's perfect in this world, you know, and we all make mistakes. And I'm sure you're going to ask me the next question about, is there any regrets? You know, absolutely. Like, I think that we are more aware of the symptoms now, for sure. And I'll be just slamming that on social media. You know, if you have this, you have that, go get tested. I had COVID. message me if you're not sure. I'll send you a link to go online and fill it out for a test. You know, a lot of people are even scared of going to get tested because it's an uncomfortable procedure. It's like a big Q-tip they stick up your nose and it lasts about 3 seconds, but it's not painful. And I think people are fearful. And I think people are fearful they don't want to get tested because they don't want to know if they're positive or negative. Because, when you're positive, look at what happens to you.
Yeah.
So, that's the fear. That's the fear factor. And there's a lot of fear in the community, every community. I'm not just going to, put my finger on my hometown. I'm going to put my finger on every community. Even Shediac, the very small city or small town. So these are all little very close-knit communities that want to protect one another, and that's the way it should be. But, I just think that I wish I would have just brought my husband to the hospital before the holidays, and then we would have known, and none of this would have ever happened,
If you had just gotten tested, right, if you had been more familiar with the symptoms, I guess, would have been the main thing.
And, I was actually scrutinized for that today online. There was one person that said, how do you know, how do you not know you have symptoms of COVID? Well, that's a good question. I guess you kind of are in denial because you think, this is not going to happen to me. I'm not going to get COVID. I mean, there's very little cases in New Brunswick, so you don't think it's going to happen to you. And, we've been listening on the news lately and seeing for ourselves on social media, is it cold flu or COVID, And a lot of people just mask it for the influenza or the flu, and they don't think it's COVID. They don't think that's going to happen to you. And we're being very, very, very naive in that respect. So we have to be more aware, and if we have the least little symptom, just to call 811 and go get a test, because it could save lives. It really could save lives, just like Jennifer Russell said today.
Or even just save 2 weeks of torture.
Yeah, exactly. Save 2 weeks of isolating. And I guess I feel responsible for, uprooting a lot of lies in this, shutting businesses down. I'm sorry that happened, but I'm not sorry I had COVID, and I don't feel guilty for having it, because it could happen to anyone, and you could have it without even knowing. So, and that we've proven that. So, you can be symptomatic and you can be asymptomatic. I was told that I was a mild case, and probably in the future, they're still doing research, but if you can get COVID again, I would probably be one that would get it again because I had a very mild case. Now, they said it in my husband's case, where he had a severe case of COVID pneumonia, that he may be immune for the rest of his life. So, but again, I'm not a doctor, but that's what they're saying. So,
and that's what the hope is, I guess. Yeah.
That's what the hope is. Yeah. And, but yeah, I think that the biggest regret is that I put my mom in that, predicament or that position where I could have infected her, and just have to say, thank God I wore a mask that day. Mm-hmm. And it didn't wear a mask for any other reason except to protect my mom, because my husband was under the weather, and I'm glad that I did. And there's no shame in that. So I guess that's my story, and I hope people learn from it, and I hope people don't ignore their symptoms and go get tested, because again, you could save yourself a lot of shaming, blaming, naming. Mm-hmm. You could save yourself a lot of problems with self-isolating, not going, being able to go to work, and of course, saving lives, because of course, this is a deadly disease that nobody wants to get. And I don't wish this on anyone. So I just hope everyone stays safe and, listens to public health and Jennifer Russell and all the rules associated with this virus, and be well. And hopefully we'll all have a great 2021.
Well, Heather, I really appreciate you taking the time and being brave enough to talk about it and tell us the story. Because, as we discussed, it helps for especially people here in Sackville, to know, you know, what's at what, you know, what the truth is behind the
Absolutely.
The rumors, and yeah. and just also, like you said, to gain the yeah. wisdom of your experience there.
Yeah, and just be kind, people. Like, be kind to others, because right now is the time that we need it. We need it right now, because it, you know, we're a lot. Some of us are not going to make it through this, and you know, that's why we need to be kind, and we need to be understanding, and stop, you know, blaming people for having a virus that, you know, we didn't bring into our communities. You know, it's hard to reflect on a lot of this, because, you know, there are people out there that are taking their last breath due to COVID. So, you know, we need to take it more seriously, obviously, and hopefully everything that I've said today will, you know, push everyone to not ignore their symptoms and to go get tested.
Thank you so much, Heather.
You're welcome.